It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green. Steve Inskeep is up in New Hampshire ahead of tomorrow's primary there. In your health today, we'll talk about how to properly take care of contact lenses. But first, we turn to attention deficit disorder and diet. Families struggling with ADD often pin their hopes on changes in diet, whether it's adding fish oil supplements or eliminating sugar and food coloring. NPR's Allison Aubrey looks at whether these strategies really work.
If you cross the word hungry with the word angry, what do you get? Hangry. A hangry kid is one who steps off the bus ravenous, irritable, and fidgety. This can happen to anyone. But for kids with attention deficit disorder, the effect is even more dramatic. Mother Linda Brower says with her son, she realized it had little to do with what he was eating. It was that he hadn't eaten enough.
He's always gotten hangry. when he is wanting something to eat and he can't even articulate it, it was really hard to stave him off until we had something to eat.
Kids with ADD burn lots of calories. They're moving their bodies all the time and often won't sit still long enough to eat. So Brower says she realized that managing her son's diet was very important, but not in the way she'd been led to believe. She says back in the 1980s, when her son was diagnosed, lots of parents were experimenting with elimination diets, removing sugar, food colorings, preservatives, certain kinds of fruits and meats. And she did try this.
And they really tried hard to control his diet when he was little, just because that was what good mothers were supposed to do.
But she says it finally dawned on her that the diet made no difference. She recalls reports from her son's preschool.
He was grabbing toys from other children. He wouldn't wait his turn. He was interrupting.
And home wasn't any easier. Bauer says her son's behavior was so impulsive, she couldn't leave him alone for a moment. Feeling very worn down, she took the advice of her doctor and put her son on the stimulant medication Ritalin.
It was so amazing to me. I could really see night and day. So, yes, it was very helpful.
Unlike diet, the medicine clearly worked. Brower's story turns out to be pretty typical. For most kids diagnosed with ADD, stimulant medication is very effective, whereas diet changes alone are usually not enough. This is the conclusion of a paper published in the journal Pediatrics. It evaluates lots of studies over three decades, and psychiatrist Jefferson Prince of the Massachusetts General Hospital, who was not involved in the study, says the author's findings certainly fit with his own experience in treating children.
There may be a small percentage of people for whom changing diet will have enough of an effect to be used alone.
Probably fewer than 10% of kids, he says. The rest will need medication. But Prince says this is not to say that diet is irrelevant.
Its main role in my practice is as a complementary treatment.
Lots of research suggests that diets rich in refined sugars and processed carbohydrates, think sodas and chips, are bad for all of us, not just kids with ADD. So Prince's nutrition advice is simple. Eat as much fresh, whole food, and healthy fats as possible.
I think if we have more processed stuff, we don't feel as good as if we have less processed stuff.
And in terms of specific advice for ADD kids, Prince says there's been a fair amount of research on the value of omega-3s from fish oil, also known as long-chain polyunsaturated fatty acids.
We think that there's some link between having low amounts of long-chain polyunsaturated fatty acids in ADD.
So go ahead and get some fish in your diet, or even take fish oil supplements. Prince says, even though the evidence isn't conclusive that this will help kids with ADD, given the heart benefits, he says it can't hurt. And his other bit of specific advice, eat lots of protein.
Having protein is really, really important.
Why? Well, he says lots of kids with ADD aren't good eaters to begin with, and the medicine can suppress their appetites, so they still go long stretches without eating.
And they get hangry.
And need food quick. Prince says one way to keep this in check is to start the day with a high-protein breakfast that sticks.
So if you can have a glass of milk and peanut butter sandwich, that's going to help you carry you through the day.
Linda Brower says she swears by the breakfast tip. She opted for egg sandwiches for her son, and she says it's made a big difference. Allison Aubrey, NPR News.
At a new Walgreens store in downtown Chicago, customers can get a fruit smoothie and a manicure while they wait for their prescription. Walgreens opened the new upscale version of its drugstore on State Street today, hoping to distinguish itself from the competition. NPR's David Shaper checked it out.
At a typical Walgreens store, you'll walk in and see cosmetics, greeting cards, and candy and snack aisles. Not so at this new, huge Walgreens drugstore on State Street in the heart of Chicago's Loop.
You know, you walk in and the first thing you see is our sushi chefs preparing sushi throughout the day.
Rob Ewing is the district manager for Walgreens in Chicago.
This is not your grandmother's Walgreens.
Behind the sushi bar is a fresh bakery, a coffee bar, a juice bar, and fresh produce. There's a huge wine and liquor section, and even a humidor with cigars and other tobacco products. On the upper level, there's a look boutique with higher-end cosmetics and a nail salon offering manicures. And there are, of course, pharmacists and a clinic with a nurse practitioner who can diagnose and treat everything from ankle sprains to ear infections.
We have everything that a traditional drugstore would have and more in this 27,000 square foot here. Newspapers, Redbox, you know, Peanuts. We have everything here with just a bigger selection.
Rob Ewing says this store is meant to be a destination for downtown office workers, tourists, and the growing population in downtown Chicago condos. And some elements of this new look will appear in neighborhood Walgreens in the city, suburbs, and across the country.
One of the challenges, Ben, and our customers tell us that they couldn't tell the difference between a Walgreens and a CVS or a Rite Aid or something. And I think now we're kind of separating ourselves from the rest of the group.
Walgreens has been losing market share to CVS, Target, and other chains here in its hometown. Retail consultant Mara Devitt of McMillan Doolittle in Chicago says the chain is gambling a bit with this new flagship store, but she says it should boost its brand in the crowded marketplace.
Anything that's this size in any location in today's economy is a risk, but I think this is a pretty calculated risk.
The concept is borrowed from New York's Duane Reade store on Wall Street. Walgreens acquired the Duane Reade chain in 2010. On the first day of business in the new flagship store today, many Walgreens customers liked what they saw.
Very impressive. I really like the lighting and the layout. It's very nice.
Tracy Anzalone works as an office manager a couple of blocks away.
Oh, I had to come get the frozen yogurt. Very tasty.
Retiree Dan Fishman says he remembers when the old Walgreens store that opened in 1926 at this site had a cafeteria and a soda fountain, as did many drugstores. And he longed for those days as he tried a sample from the sushi bar.
This is a vegetarian something, which I don't like. I'm going to throw it away.
Would you rather see a soda fountain here than a
sushi
bar?
For me, yes, because I'm 80 years old, so I know what it used to be years ago with Walgreens. And I'm still from the old school.
But Fishman concedes for the younger generation in 2012, a sushi bar in a Walgreens is probably just fine. And if the sushi doesn't set right, there's always Pepto-Bismol right upstairs. David Shaper, NPR News, Chicago.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.